listening to WWBC Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Hello and welcome to another installment of the Hour of Power radio program, hosted by Pastor Thomas Robinson Jr. We're glad you could join us this morning as we delve into the Word of God. So prepare your hearts, prepare your minds, and grab a Bible. Now here's your host, Pastor Thomas Robinson Jr.
Well, good evening. We thank you for listening to our broadcast. I would like to take a moment and invite you to our Christ in the Marketplace conference, and that's going to be this October, the month of October, on the 11th, 12th, and 13th. Our theme for this year is God's end time plan for the marketplace. I really believe that God wants us to possess the top of the mountains, or the top of the mountain of business, so we can influence society, culture through the marketplace. You know, a mountain is an elevated place, and you can look at it as a platform, and a lot of ungodly businesses and corporations at the top of this mountain are using this platform to push ungodly wickedness upon our society, and they're going after our children. Their goal is to change the culture of this society from godliness to ungodliness. We might not have the platforms yet to compete with a lot of these ungodly corporations, but we do have the money that feed these ungodly corporations. You know, I did about 4 years in the military, and they had this old saying that if you hit them in the pocket where it hurts. And so we see now that conservatives and Christian people are starting to take their money and to take it elsewhere. To restrain from going to certain businesses that are pushing these worldly, ungodly agendas. These corporations are using their platforms to launch and relaunch wickedness and ungodly agendas. Fighting, a mountain is an elevated place. And fighting from an elevated position, holding the high ground, offers advantages. And so I want to invite you to come out. You know, we just can't sit back and say that ministries should not talk about money, especially when the Canadian government confiscated the people money to end the protests against the government. You know, when the government can do the wrong thing and then, forbid us to protest, this should be a wake-up call. And so I want to invite you to Christ in the Marketplace Conference. 250 North Babcock, 250 North Babcock, that's Florida, and that's October the 11th, 12th, and 13th, going to be starting at 7:30, but we're going to fight our way up to the top of the mountain of business, the mountain of economics, and so I want to see you there. God bless.
Lord, men, women of God, mighty men of God, mighty women of valor, amen. It's time to know who you are. This is a Tuesday broadcast, and we did the Monday broadcast, and we ended with Minister Alex, and he was, talking about who we are. Come on. We haven't recognized who we are, that we're new creatures, a new species. Come on. We're not normal. Come on. We're supernatural. Why? What? As a matter of fact, man of God, and I know I'm just jumping right into it. I have Minister Alex here with me, but why do we try to dumb down our abilities? Come on. Why do we try to be like other religions? Come on, somebody. Oh, glory to God. They ain't got nothing. No power. No nothing. Come on. We try to dumb down, and then we have a segment of the body of Christ that said that, that willfully, saying that God don't do this anymore, and God don't do that anymore. And when it comes down to spiritual things, they're trying to scare you concerning spiritual things. You know, man of God, it's bad enough that so much of the body of Christ has been hypnotized by horror movies and scary movies that praise the Lord, they're terrified of the supernatural. But then you have people that are lost that are trying to find out more about the supernatural. Come on. It's time for us to arise and shine. Come on, somebody. It's time for us to realize that our light has come, that the glory of God is no more just in us, but it has come up and up on us. Come on, somebody. And it's time for us to do something with that glory. Yesterday we were coming from the book of Isaiah chapter 60. And when you look even at in Isaiah chapter 60, when the glory came upon the people of God, things changed. Come on. You see change. You see great manifestation from that point on. The Bible says that, and I'm going to give it over to the man of God in a moment, but the Bible says that arise and shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen up and on us. Come on, it's coming up out of us. God is in you. He didn't come empty-handed. Come on, but he came with his glory. Come on, oh glory to God. And he just don't want it to be bottled up in you, but he wanted to rest on the outside of you. You know, when God's glory is resting on you, it makes you attractive. Oh glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm going to say that again. It makes you attractive. Oh, glory to God. It makes your business, you business people, it makes you attractive. Oh, glory to God. Let me say this. It says that, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. God does his best work in darkness. Come on, here's darkness abounding. The Bible says, where sin abound, grace do much more. What is the grace of God? It's the power of God, the help of God, the ability of God. Come on. And so guess what? It's the source of God. So when darkness sticks its head up, God says, hey, guess what? I give you more source. I give you more ability. I give you more power. Come on, I'm going to help you more. Oh, glory to God. What? In the face of darkness, because God will not be outdone. Come on. Oh, glory to God. Why are we walking around like chickens? Come on, when we ought to be dominating. Come on, somebody. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm almost about to preach. Go ahead, man of God. I know you want to jump in there. I know you got something good to say.
Yeah, if I can say it, I'm getting out of teary out of it. We don't understand who we are, and that's all it is. We don't, and you know, religion has fought for hundreds of years to keep Christians thinking that we're just another religion. So many people say that, you know, that there are many ways to God. No, there's just one, and Jesus said it's Him. And when you choose Him, when Jesus calls and you respond, you don't become a member of a new religion. You become a member of a new race of people. This is something God showed me a long time ago. He said you've got the human race, and then you have the Christian race. It's something He showed just to wake me up, to show me that you're not the same person. You know, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. That word creature in the Greek means species. It's not, you're not, if you've been born again, you're not a sinner saved by grace. You are a sinner who has been transformed into what the Bible calls a saint. You have been transformed into something else. Paul talked about transformation in Romans 12, too. Paul talked about transformation in Romans 12, too, when he said, don't be conformed to the earth, to the world, but instead be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That word transformed is the Greek word metamorpho, where we get metamorphosis from. Metamorphosis is a power that lives on the inside of a creature that changes them from one thing to another. Perfect example is a butterfly. When butterflies are first hatched, they're not butterflies. They're ugly, fat, ugly-looking, crawly little inchworm caterpillars. They're ugly, ugly. And all they do is just crawl on the ground and find bushes and start eating. But they eat, and then sooner or later, when they become full and when their bodies have stored up enough energy.
They can't eat from every tree. They eat from the right tree. We're called to eat from the right tree. Go ahead. I wanted to throw that in there.
Wow. Yeah, you know what? You see, that goes back to the garden, because Adam and Eve ate from the wrong tree. And the Bible says that because of one man's disobedience, sin came into the world and death came because of sin. Because Adam and Eve had a relationship with God, but they didn't want the relationship. The serpent, Satan in disguise, convinced them that having knowledge was more important than having relationship. That's where religion comes from. And God sent his son to get us back to know relationship with God is more important, but that's a side thing. But anyway, when you stop and look at a caterpillar, it just eats and eats from the right tree. It eats what gives it nourishment. And then once its body has enough nourishment, it builds a cocoon around itself, and then it goes through a transformation process called metamorphosis. And when that cocoon breaks open, that ugly caterpillar is not a caterpillar anymore. It's a butterfly. It doesn't look, even though it started one way, it's the same creature, but it's been transformed into something else. Okay? It can fly. It doesn't crawl on the ground. It flies. What the Bible says, it soars like God's called us to be, like eagles. Okay, we're not chickens. We're eagles now. You know, it's a transformation process. And I've said it before. We hear so much talk about what Christ has done for us, but we don't hear anybody talking about what Christ did to us. When we got...
My God.
Can't even say it. When we got born again, we were transformed into something else. We're not sinners saved by grace. We are now sons and daughters of God the Most High. We're not, you see, we're not stepchildren. We're not stepchildren. God has, the Bible says, Paul says that we have been grafted into the vine. I'm sorry, we've been grafted into the tree. We've been grafted into the branch. The Bible, God always talked about the Israeli nation in the Old Testament as trees. The Bible says we have been grafted into that tree. That means we have become one. 1 Corinthians 6:17, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Here's what happened. If you have been born again, that means that the Spirit of God now lives on the inside of you. The God himself, the third person of the Trinity, God himself, through his Spirit, now lives inside of you. And that dead thing inside of you has now been made alive. Ephesians 2, we who were dead in trespasses and sins have been made alive. That means whatever you were before you got born again, that's over. 2 Corinthians 5:17, we always say the first half of 2 Corinthians 5:17, but not the second half. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new, and all things are now of God, who has reconciled you unto himself. It doesn't matter if you still have bad behavior. That changes over time. But if you've been born again, as far as God is concerned and what he says goes, everything on the inside of you is now of God. And as you begin to walk with God, as you begin to spend time in his word and allow that metamorphosis, that transformation process to happen, you become more like God. And the reason why you become more like God is because God is now in you. We are not people trying to act like God. We have been made, according to Psalms 86, verse 2, we have been made gods.
Yes.
Okay? He said in that passage, Psalms 86, it says, God stands among his congregation, and he judges among the gods. Psalms 82, verse 6, I'm sorry. He said, haven't I told you, you are gods, all of you, and sons of the Most High, but because you don't know it, you'll die like men.
And then we don't perform like,
like God.
Because guess what? We're not telling the people who they are. Come on, a lot of us listening even now, you don't even know who you are. Come on, and when you don't know who you are, it's to the advantage of the enemy. The enemy, you know, how can a prince, you know, we're quick to quote that scripture, you know, Satan is the prince of the air. Well, princes don't tell kings what to do. You are a king, baby. You are a king, and you are a priest unto God. Go ahead.
Satan is the prince of the power of the air, but according to what Peter said, God has made us kings and priests. Kings and priests.
Revelation.
Kings and priests. We are kings and priests. You know what that means? That means the every king in the Old Testament, every king in the Old Testament needed a priest, okay? Because the king represented power and authority in the natural. The priest represented guidance in the spirit. The priests would hear. Okay, prophet, priest, and king. In the Old Testament, the only people that could experience the presence of God were the prophets, the priests, and the kings. Just think about that. If you believed in God and you lived in the Old Testament times, you didn't feel the presence of God when you pray. You didn't feel the presence of God when you prayed. The only people who could feel the presence of God is the prophet, priest, and king. And here we are in the New Testament. Jesus has made all of those. Jesus has made us kings. Why? So that we can rule and dominate in the earth on the natural side. He's also made us a priest, which means what? We can contact God in the spirit. You notice how I think it was Peter said that God has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. What's the godliness? The priest side of who we are. What's the life side? The king side of who we are. We have been transformed into sons of God so that we can rule on the earth like God rules in the heavens. Hello, what did Jesus say? Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. What? Your kingdom, what? Come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So basically, we're praying for the will of God to be done on earth just like it is in heaven. Well, doesn't the Bible say in the Old Testament that God rules the heavens, but the earth he has given to the sons of men? The reason why when you get born again, the Holy Spirit comes to live on the inside of you is because we, as God gave the earth to mankind, we have authority on the earth. And when you become born again and the Spirit of God lives on the inside of you, God can now begin to rule the earth because he has a house. My wife, Celeste. Hi, Celeste. Shout out to my wife.
Let me say this real quick. You mean to tell me that because we have authority and in the earth, dominion, that storm that's sitting out there in the Gulf, that we can tell it what to do?
It's weak.
Just like Christ told the storm what to do. Oh, glory to God. But because if you don't know who you are, if you're just set up under, you know, nice stories where folks have told you nice stories and folks have told you to hold on. Come on. You ain't going to do nothing. Oh, glory to God. You're gonna sit in that seat, you know, in your house, sit in that seat and won't take authority and look outside of yourself. Oh, glory to God. Look outside of yourself instead of looking to the God that's on the inside of you. God didn't come empty-handed. He came with his glory. Come on, somebody. He came with his glory. All that he is. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. And so you possess a lot on the inside of you. We have so great a treasure in earthen vessels. There's something in you, baby. See, and this is why, pastors, come on, stop bringing people. I know it goes on because guess what? I've seen it. Where you bring people up to the front that have come up for an altar call, and you turn them around and you do the yay and the nay thing, where, you know, do you want this person to be a part of this body? Come on, they're not the one that called the shot for folks to get in. Where you get this mess from? Come on. Oh, glory to God. Folks, you got to lead folks to repentance. Folks have to repent. They got to make room for God. There has to be capacity for God. Your spirit has great capacity. This is why we look in the Bible and we see the demon-possessed man. Come on. And there was a legion worth of demons on the inside of him because guess what? Your capacity has a lot. Your spirit man has a lot of capacity, and the enemy wants to dwell there. Come on, somebody. And so you have to be cleansed. You got to be empty. Come on. You got to ask God to forgive you of your sins. You got to ask God to take everything out of you that's not like him. Come on. Oh, glory to God. You got to make room in the end. Come on. Oh, glory to God. There was no room in the end. There has to be room in the end. Oh, glory to God. And God has always been a God of invitation. He will sit back and allow you to make a mess of your life. Come on, to ruin it. Why? Because he likes to be invited into things. And he likes to be invited into your life. Come on. Go ahead, man of God. I just want to throw that in there right quick. You were about to say something about Celeste.
Celeste, my lovely wife, Celeste said, she said that your physical body, you know, because we hear it's an earth suit. Your physical body is your earth suit. But she says something else. She says your physical body is your permission to live on the earth. That's why it's so important to take care of your body, because when you don't take care of your body, you don't have permission to live here anymore. This is something that God told me a while back. Okay, 1 Corinthians 15:26 says that the last enemy to be defeated is death. Death and God are not friends. They're enemies. God hates the hello. God said, don't eat the fruit from the tree, because if you do, you'll die. That tells you right there that God doesn't want death. God and death are not friends. Religion has taught us that death is like a pet that God keeps on a leash, that when it's time for us, that when it's time for God to call us home, he sends death to come get us. Don't know where that comes from, because it's not Bible. But anyway, the reason why I say that is this. God and death are not friends, okay? They're enemies, okay? So that means, this is how God showed it to me. God doesn't want you to die and go to heaven. The only person who wants you to die is your enemy. And the reason why he wants you to die is because if you're not here, you have no authority. On the earth, human beings have authority, okay? See, the devil don't care if you go to heaven or hell. He just don't want you here. I'll say that again. The devil does not care if you go to heaven or go to hell. He just doesn't want you here.
Operating in your dominion.
Operating in your dominion. My spiritual father, Rick Manis, said this. He said, if you don't stand in your authority, a devil will stand in your authority and use it against you. Remember, this is what I was getting to talk about. Remember, I think it was either Colossians or Philippians, where Paul said that Jesus made it spoil principalities and made an open show of him publicly. That word in the Greek is triumph. I looked up that word. I Googled the definition of the Greek triumph, where it came from. The triumph was a three-day celebration. Whenever a king and his army was overthrown, the winning king, obviously the Romans back then, would make a three-day celebration. They would bind that king in chains and march him through the city, sometimes naked, to show that he was completely stripped. They made it a three-day celebration. The Bible says that Jesus spoiled principalities and powers. I'm going to say it this way. Jesus stripped principalities and powers of all of their authority. God showed it to me this way. God took Jesus by the scruff. Jesus took the devil by the scruff of the neck and dragged him through the spirit realm for 3 days. Think about it. He got stripped.
In front of his homies.
In front of the folks that he led the rebellion.
Right. Satan got stripped of all of his power, all of his anointing, all of his good, everything that made him the good. Because remember, before Jesus came along, the reason why demon possession was so rampant was because there was no spirit of God moving in the earth and moving in people to stop it from happening. Okay? Whatever Satan was like before Jesus died on the cross, that version of Satan is gone. He is a fallen angel that has been stripped of everything that made him powerful. So where's all this power coming from? Newsflash, it's coming from us. It's coming from us. When we don't stand in our authority as believers, when we don't stand in our authority as believers, the kingdom of darkness will take your authority and use it against you.
You'll fill that void. You'll fill that void, and where we're not taking authority. This is why you see, where all of these crazy perverted laws, come on, where they're coming after the children, come on, mm-hmm. where they have the gender affirm, and some of you all voted for that mess, come on somebody, because yeah. All right, sometimes we're blinded by media, we're persuaded, the devil has a smooth tongue. God, we need discernment like never before, so that we can discern when people are lying to us. Come on, oh glory to God, because you thought they were telling you the truth. Come on, and now you see the condition that this nation is in, because guess what? You believe the lying spirit.
Yes.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
So, boy, if you don't stand in your authority, the enemy will take your authority and use it against you. And the reason why is because the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light are both in the spirit realm, which is invisible. God gave mankind authority on the earth. So what happens is that the kingdom of light is always speaking to you. The kingdom of darkness is always speaking to you. Faith comes by hearing. Doesn't matter what you hear. Well, it does matter what you hear. But faith, think about it. Faith comes by hearing. Whatever you hear over and over again, and everybody, every human being can attest to this. Whatever you keep hearing, whatever you keep hearing over and over, you start to believe it because you keep hearing it. You start to believe it. If faith comes by hearing, then pay attention to it. That's why Jesus said, take heed to what you hear.
I'm glad you're saying that, because guess what? A lot of us haven't realized what goes on with the news. They repeat, it can be a lie, but they'll repeat it long enough and keep repeating it till pretty soon you'll believe that it's the truth. You know, I'm sitting here, man of God, and it's just in my heart. I might as well tell you, I know you're going to Tennessee for a while, but guess what? Charity starts at home. Come on, there are people here that need to hear your voice. Oh, glory to God. When Jesus sent his apostles out to preach, he said, hey, first start at home. Come on. So there are people that need to hear your voice. And so you're coming back.
Yes, sir.
You will be back. Because guess what? There are people that need to hear your voice. It's like thunder going across the... Okay, well, go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. So it's like the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light both operate. See, both kingdoms want to be made manifest. The kingdom of God wants to manifest itself in the earth. The kingdom of darkness wants to manifest itself in the earth. So how does it happen? We've seen the cartoons growing up. You got the angel sitting on one shoulder. You got the devil sitting on the other shoulder. Both kingdoms are constantly talking to you. The one that remember in Proverbs where David told Solomon, incline your ear to my sayings, lean your ear into what I'm telling you so that you will have life, so that you have all these things. Both kingdoms are talking. The one that you lean your ear into, and listen to, that's the one that you're going to believe. And like Jesus said, out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. Whatever you fill your heart with, sooner or later, that overflow is going to come out of your mouth. And you can tell because, like, when pressure hits you, what's the first thing that comes out your mouth? That's the abundance that's in your heart. Hmm. When pressure hits you, what's the first thing that comes out of your mouth? Is it the word of God, or is it the word of the other dude? God. Okay, both kingdoms are talking. The one that you listen to, faith comes by hearing. Okay, and then Jesus said, it's all through the Bible, whatever you believe with your heart and say with your mouth is what you get. It doesn't matter if it's good or bad. It's how the spirit realm works. Both kingdoms talk to us because humans have authority on the earth. That's why the devil wants you dead. Because if you are alive and born again, you are a threat. Yeah. If you're alive and not born again, you are a potential threat because you could get saved.
Yeah.
So he don't care if you go to heaven or hell. He just don't want you here. Because if you're here, you have authority to stop him by what you choose to listen to. Because faith comes by hearing.
And hearing
by the word of God.
My God, we got to wrap it up. Oh, glory to God. We thank God for Minister Alex being in the house. Like I said, I thought that Celeste was coming. As you know, that is, you see those two, it's like automatic. You see one, you're going to see the other. Praise the Lord. But anyways, he came by himself. Let me say this. We want to be able to go take this broadcast down south to Fort Lauderdale, up to Daytona. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Expansion. Tell somebody expand. Amen. That's what the glory does. When you look in Isaiah chapter 60, when the glory came, there was expansion. Amen, somebody. And so, but we want to ask you all to be a blessing, to be a help. Amen. To help the spread the good news of the gospel, to help the spread the truth and God's truth set people free. And so anyways, our telephone number, our church telephone number is 321-357-455. Now that's our church Zelle number. I believe it's our church Zelle number also. And so if you want to Zelle an offering, amen. We're not going to tell you how much to give. You know, if the Lord stirs your heart, hallelujah. I'm sure that he's going to motivate you and move you to give. So whether you give whether you give a dollar, whether you give $1 million, amen, that's up to you. You know, amen, that's up to how willing you are to be a blessing, to help to spread the good news of the gospel. We're located 250 North Babcock, and the wonderful city of Melbourne, Florida, Victory International Praise, where my wife, Pastor Teresa Robinson, she's the pastor. Amen. I'm just the overseer. Amen. They let me do a little something every once in a while, and I like sitting down. You know, it's great when you can train up people, and the Lord has us, you know, training up people. Amen. The next set of leaders, the ones who got next. Amen. Praise God. The ones who got next. And so we thank God for that assignment. Amen. We thank God for this radio broadcast and the growth and what God is doing. All right. We thank God for people listening in. Thank God for Prophetess Peaches. Amen. We thank God for you listening in. Let me say this here. Hit the share button, people. Amen. Stop. You know, we use our Facebook page. Hit the share button on your Facebook page. Amen. Share this. Stop just listening in and getting all the goodies and not helping to spread the news. All right. God bless you. God bless you, Brother Danny. We'll see you guys next week, or see you Wednesday. Bye-bye.
Well, good evening. We thank you for listening to our broadcast. I would like to take a moment and invite you to our Christ in the Marketplace conference, and that's going to be this October, the month of October, on the 11th, 12th, and 13th. Our theme for this year is God's end time plan for the marketplace. I really believe that God wants us to possess the top of the mountains, or the top of the mountain of business.